Yeah. Praise God. How church is doing today? Praise God. Good. I'm amazed for the glory of God, and I'm looking forward to listen Rudy preaching today. Rudy's going to preach today. Today is his last day, so he's going to preach. Thank you, Rudy. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate all the blessings, efforts, support, love, everything. Everything that you guys did for us and for the church. So please don't go too fast. Don't leave too fast. We're going to pray for you guys and send you with a lot of blessings from the church. Amen? Amen. Okay, thank you also for the church last Sunday, helping and supporting. Thank you, Becca and the ministry team from worship that help and support the church. And also kind of related to the same series that we're talking about, the worshipers, because we are worshipers. And hopefully my expectation today it is to continue learning a little bit more about that, something that God is putting in my heart in these previous weeks. And I'm growing in this, and hopefully, again, the same thing for you guys to continue growing with that blessing of the Word of God. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the life. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the blessings that you are continuing doing in our life. Thank you for provisions, blessings, protections. Thank you for healings. Thank you for everything. All the glory is yours. You are the one. No one humanly here in the earth, on the earth and here in our life is not capable to do your miraculous things that you're normally doing in the life of the people. So thank you for that blessing. Thank you for everything that you're doing. So in this moment, like always, Father God, we ask you to be you speaking to the church, not me. Please remove any human knowledge, any thoughts in the flesh, and be you speaking to the church. Be your spirit talking to the church and transform us according to your will to be to the image of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so previously, as you guys know, we have been talking about different topics like seeking or being sick, kind of the representation of a scout, a person that is looking for someone. The same thing that scripture is talking about, God looking, seeking for those worshipers. He's looking for that. And it's going to be to some specific characteristics from that specific person, those worshipers, that he's looking for. And using the scripture as a reference, John 4:19, that it says, "Sir, the woman say, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You, Samaritans, worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." That's the scripture that we use for opening always this series. And it's the one to open our minds to understand what he's looking and who's looking, which we know and learn that is God. God is the one that is looking those specific worshipers that they're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. There's two things over there that we need to follow, that we need to understand, that we transform our hearts and mind, because we know that's what he's looking, that's what he's searching for. And we are continuing learning more about different scriptures, and today I want to talk a little bit about things that is happening in the past, things that I have been learning also in the past, and things that I can, you know, when we are Christian, we learn things and we speak what we know. But then we get to a point that we say, wow, when I listen to sermons that I preached like 20 years ago, back in PR in Puerto Rico, I was like, what? I was talking about that topic? Like, because that was the knowledge, the capacity that I have in my mind for that time. That was the exposure that I have for that moment. But then you keep growing, you keep learning, you're getting exposed to different type of environments, people, experiences, work, family, everything. And then you keep getting more knowledge about God, about what he's doing, about what he meant when he said this and that in the Bible. And today is one of those things. And I hope I will say it with my most humble heart that I can, because this is going to be a little bit difficult. And please open your mind. I'm going to explain it the most slowly that I can, so that way we don't get any wrong interpretations over here. When we learn and we study the history of the Bible, of the church, and we're talking about Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ, it passed like 48 years when he died, when he resurrected, and he show up the church what we supposed to be. 48 years after that, people start writing. Paul, he start writing letters to the places and to the churches. Disciples start writing the books of the gospel, 60 AD. So all these things happen years after Jesus Christ. After that, what happened? Everything started spreading out about the life of Jesus Christ, what he did, who he was, what he did in that moment when he was on the earth, miraculous things, prophecies. He started talking to the people. He started talking to everyone. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about what he's going to do for the people, that he is the representation of the Lamb, that he's going to be crucified, and then he will be resurrected, and then he will be providing salvation for everyone. And then these people start writing all these experiences that they have. And there's some things that we don't know because they didn't write it. And there's other things that other people write it, but based on the canon, they say and they determine that these books are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's not include these ones. Let's include just these ones. And based on that, you and I build our beliefs. Some people call that doctrines. Please, open your heart. I'm not here for judge or criticizing anything or anyone out there. We will get to the point. Doctrines start creating some beliefs in us. But doctrines, sometimes we have to be careful with them, because most likely there have been built by the human knowledge and beliefs. Just be careful. Out of that experiences, out of those writings, people start believing things or saying some things and start talking about different topics. So are we worshipers of real worship of God, or are we just worshipers of doctrines? I hope that makes sense. Because again, sometimes doctrines, we have different type of denominations, things out there. Again, I'm not criticizing. I'm just sharing with you guys history, story of different things that happened in the past that is still affecting today to you and to me. The people start saying, this doesn't make sense. Let me remove this of the story. this is making sense. Let me put that one on the story or belief. And keep removing things out of the story or the experiences that they read in the Bible or in any story and books that it was related on those times. Books that they are not maybe related or not included in the Bible. And that's how the doctrines start getting formed and creating a framework for you and for me. And most of us, me too, I'm not included, that's what I'm saying, 20 years ago, I may be believing in those doctrines and say, and I start being a worshiper of those doctrines. And then when you keep learning and growing and getting experiences in your life, you understand and say, like, I don't know. And God is start getting you those experiences and touch your hearts and your mind to transform you. We keep learning and getting exposed to those things. When we go, again, this is 48 A.D., Paul start writing, and then we can see the church of the first century, and then we start talking about 1700 years. And we're talking about year 1700, 1800, 1900 that we are living right now. And we're getting exposed to different terminologies, different doctrines from different people. For example, everything pretty much starts from the Catholic, right? From there, from the Reformation, Martin Luther, the Protestant Church, pretty much from there. Everything you start getting from Methodist, the church, from Baptist church, the Pentecostal, which it was not 1900s. It's not too far. But what happened between Jesus Christ and 1900? In the 1700, Constantine, I'm not here to tell you a story because it will take forever, but just to get a picture of what happened in the story and think about that. And what is that affecting us? How is that impacting our hearts and mind today? To being a worshiper of his plan, will, or son, Jesus Christ, or being a worshiper of what this religion says that we're supposed to do. And those people, including myself, they say, this is wrong, this is right. Why? And that's the part that we need to be careful, because sometimes some people, for example, do you guys ever heard about the dispensationalism, dispensations? Also, that born in the 1700 or 1800 from John Darby, Irish guy. And then he started talking and dividing everything by dispensations. Why? I don't know. Something that he have over there, people start believing God inspired him, and then because God inspired him, we will start believing in what he say. Again, I'm saying this with a lot of careful. Because my point over here, it is that, are we really worshiping God or worshiping just the doctrines that we are following? The dispensations is creating some things in our minds because it's talking about times that possible, according to John Darby, that God is doing things in the life of people. There's like seven or eight dispensations, if I'm not wrong, seven. And he's talking about this is the time that God create, and then people sin, and then from the sin, the flood, and then another dispensation, and then Moses, and dispensations, times. And based on that, you and I, we start believing in this doctrine and creating this framework in our hearts and mind, and we build everything based on that. And becoming worshipers of that. Not maybe worshipers of God. I'm sorry, I know it's this is going to be tough. But for me, it was also tough, and I'm just going to share that with you guys. And I'm going to share it through the scripture. Let's go. Revelations. I'm not just talking about the dispensations, I'm also talking about different type of religions and different type of point of view, perceptions, and that's fine. It's just we tend to lose the focus of what God wants us to do in our life. I'm going to Revelation chapter 2. And as you guys know, Revelation, we have to read it also inside of the historical context and all the context. We cannot just read it literally, when that's also one of the things that the John Darby was expressing. Pretty much they read the Bible literally. And just, again, for me, I believe the Bible is historic. This happened. It's also spiritual. It changed you, transformed you. But also, this Word of God, it's words from people. Like Jesus Christ spoke and is here and written in red what the people remember that he say. And they write it. So he literally also mentioned some things. Chapter 2 of Revelation, it says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered, thank you, and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Nice, right? Expressing to the church, Ephesus, in that time and moment, really quick, historically, this is the church of Ephesus, the same church that Paul wrote the letter, but this has happened after that letter. And in that moment, Babylon, it was controlling over there, so there was a lot of gods, a lot of idolatry, a lot of other immorality things happening in that moment. So the spirit of the church, which when you read chapter first, is Jesus Christ talking to John in that moment when he was in Patmos, in the island. And then he was expressing and say, hey, you Ephesus, which is you and me right now talking also, we are the church. I like these things. You're good. Awesome. Beautiful. You're doing all these things. Nice. But what it says in number 4? A little twist over there, right? I'm talking about this church, all the good things that they're doing. And then number 4 says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So wait a second. These people are doing good things, but they forgot the first love. So it is possible to doing good things, but your heart is not with him. We know that. It's possible that God, Jesus Christ, is praising you. I hate these things. You're doing this thing. You're doing this good, amazing. Maybe you're following these doctrines. Maybe you're following this stuff. Maybe you're doing this stuff. Because some of the, again, I'm just being careful. The doctrines that we are learning and reading in the Bible, we believe in them. And the majority of them that we believe, they are based on the Bible. And we believe and trust that God has inspired these people. And we trust in that. Now, there's other ones that we know that it's kind of like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not there yet to understand it. Or maybe it's really not right. God will reveal it in his time and moment. But then at the same time, he say, but you, there's something that I don't like. And it is that you forsake the love. The first thing, the most important thing, the priority here, love. So in other words, you kind are worshiping because worship is a lifestyle. It's not just singing songs and raising our hands and worship God. It's really a lifestyle worshiping God with our reactions, character or personality, helping each other, loving each other, all those things. And that's worshiping. But then these people, the Ephesus church, and maybe some of us, we can understand this, also correlate to that and say, we are following this, we are doing this thing. God loves those things. God is, he likes the things that I'm doing. But at the same time, yet, you forsake your first love. That first love that is amazing. That we cannot forget about that. We cannot let that go. And it's really interesting the way that he put it over here, because he say, you have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Just consider how far you have fallen. And then he say, repent and do the things you did at first when you were in love in me. That's the real worship that I'm looking. And it's really, let's go to Titus. In Titus, some of us in the church, we learned this one, and hopefully this has opened our minds. So the first point that I'm sharing right now with you guys is doctrine. In Titus 2, verse 2, he's talking about Paul writing to Titus and expressing what is really the doctrine. The doctrine. And he says, teach the older men to be temperate. Sorry, let me start with number one. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. That's what you need to teach, Titus. Share with the... And by the way, Titus, he was really in that region of Ephesus also at the same time. Teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. I'm sorry for what I'm going to say right now. And again, I'm not taking out of nothing from anyone, including this church. But sometimes we tend to worship other things related to the doctrines. Tongues, baptism, Holy Spirit manifestation, all those things. I'm not saying that that's wrong, please. But our hearts tend to go that route to worship that. It's good that we maybe see those manifestations because he wants to do that. It's because he wants to. It's not us creating that or manufacturing that. It's him. He's the one doing everything. He just looking and seeking for those worshipers that worship him in spirit and truth. And if those manifestations happen, praise God. We will enjoy it and we will glorify him. But if you take a look at the doctrine that he's talking over here, he's saying control, temperate, self-control, love, endurance. What is that? It's talking to us, to a person, to a people, to say, This is the real doctrine. That you self-control, that you love each other. That's the real doctrine. That you support each other. That the elders of the church have to do these things. Not the doctrines that we see around all the world. Likewise, teach the older woman to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can argue the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled, again, in everything set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of a speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior. Hallelujah. That's, number one, it says, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. So that's the doctrine. You want to make the word of God attractive? My experience, I don't know yours, discussing of those topics. Baptism, when or no? Holy Spirit, tongues, when, no? Who is applicable, who's not applicable? That's the thing that I'm talking about. And that's fine. It's just, don't worship that. Don't make your Christianity or your love to Christ based on that. Because then it's based on knowledge. It's based on what we can say or not say. Who have the correct answer? Who has not had the correct answer? And when it becomes that, it removes the transformation from Jesus Christ in your life. Because you're trying just to be the correct answer. And getting the correct answer, let me get people. When according to the scripture, it says you want to make it attractive, self-control. Love. Be an example. It doesn't say be correct with the word. Know everything. Apply it. Be a doers, not just a listeners. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Wait a second. We're talking about doctrine, and then Paul shows the grace of God over here? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control. Here we go again, Paul. Oh, my goodness. Upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And amen and hallelujah to that one. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's it. Simple doctrine. Let's do it. Let's apply it. All the glory to Jesus Christ. And then the most finish or end of this chapter. I know it was a letter. It was not the end, but 15. These, then, are the things you should teach. encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Ephesus was going through this situation. A lot of idolatry, immorality in that moment, and they were getting consumed by that. And then the framework of the doctrine, it was to follow these rules, these things. But they forgot the first love, the beginning of everything. That relationship that you and I have with God in that moment is the one that we have to have every single second of our life. And never let it go. Don't let anything or anyone to remove that out of your life. That's the love that he's looking. And the second point that I want to share is that love. And when we go to the scripture and talking about love, I don't have it over there, sorry. 1 Corinthians 13, you guys know. The scripture says, the love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It's kind of the same way if you think it vice versa, right? If you're not patient, you don't have love. If you're not kind, you don't have love. If you envy, you don't have love. It does not boast. If you boast, I guess love is not there. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love. And that's the love that he wants us to have in our hearts and in our life. Do not let it go. I don't know if you guys have the experience, maybe some of you guys, of that first love. Those experiences that you have. Those emotions that you have in that moment. That's what he wants you to have every single second in your life. Do not let it go. And that's what happened to the church in Ephesus. And he's talking also to our life. One of the theologies or doctrines of the dispensations, it is that's for that church. It's not for us right now. The whole Bible for me, it is a spiritual and it's applied, and it blessed me every single day, everything that I read, because it's what he used to talk to me, to my heart, and transform me. I just don't want to remove the transformation from Jesus Christ in my life and letting a doctrine from a human being change my life. And that's what I want to just share with you guys. 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. We can continue learning and growing more and more in the transformation with Jesus Christ. But that will be loving each other, helping each other, supporting each other. And that's the blessing that Jesus Christ left to us. My humble heart open right now. But then after that, this is not applicable, this is applicable. And that's where you and I, we are right now today. Don't let anything of that transform you. Jesus Christ is the one that died for you and for me. He's the one that he can transform us. That's why the scripture talks a lot about Jesus Christ in us, transforming us. The glory, he's the one doing everything, not us in our own works or strength through the doctrines that we are getting from the men. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. It's a long run to get to love. But we can do it with Him. With Him, we can do it. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them, here we go, is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what happened with the church in Ephesus. They forgot the love. And because they forgot the love, they forgot those other things before the love. It's like a back and forth. God, Jesus Christ, talked to them through John, saying, you forgot that first love. You need to go back and do all those things, which is character, which is you and me, the doctrine, the real sound doctrine from God in our hearts to get to that love that we need to get. So we will go back to the first love. 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. You and me. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let no one who boasts, boast. And now, that's the Bible, the Word of God. And the same thing is talking to us. He picked anything or anyone to do His will, His purpose, to glorify Himself, who we are, to boast. We just follow His lead, and we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that He's the one leading the church, that He's the one lighting the church like the lampstand. We cannot go back to those evil desires from the flesh. We have to let the first love continue burning inside of us. And He will keep the lampstand over here with us, lighting up in darkness. Now, according to Scripture, if we do not repent, if we continue believing in our evil desires, if we continue believing in our own knowledge, doctrines, and prioritizing and worshiping those things and not worshiping Him, He will remove the lampstand, according to Scripture. I'm going to leave you with this one. Do you guys remember this story in 2 Kings? Chapter 4. This is the last point that I want to share with you guys. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and cook some stew for these prophets." One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and picked as many of its gourds as his garment could hold. Pay attention to that one. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of a stew, though no one knew what they were. Pay attention to that one too. The stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Men of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat it. Elisha said, "Get some flour." He put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people to eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. What is that trying to say with this message? First of all, people are hungry. Take it spiritually. And Elijah was asking his servant, "Go and look for these herbs so that way we can cook." And the guy grabbed everything and put it the best that he could, right? According to Scripture. That's the capacity that he had. Now, what he was taking, he just randomly taking whatever. He don't have a knowledge of what he was taking. And then when he prepared it, the prophets, when they were eating it, they say, "Man of God, there's poison, death in the pot." When we get a lot of people out there, including us, we're getting exposed to these guys. They are sharing with us maybe things that they're not good, that they maybe have death in their hearts. They maybe don't know. They just have a capacity to get what they can get. And based on the capacity or knowledge or what they can handle, that's what they gather. Take it as information, data, doctrines. And they cook it. "Hey, I have a stew here really good for you guys." "It's really good." That's not good. That's a revelation from another man, maybe. And it keeps happening. How many divisions do we have at church right now? From Jesus Christ, from that moment, the church keeps spreading all over the place. Because this is not right, because this is right, because this is wrong, because this is applicable, this is not applicable. I'm going to build my church. Adventist, Jehovah Witnesses, Methodist, Lutherans, name it. Is that the real intention or transformation from Jesus Christ? Did he really want that? I don't know why the message today is like this, but that's what I have in my heart, guys. Because the worship that we are living in our daily life, it is based sometimes on that, or based sometimes on the transformation from Jesus Christ. Elisha just say, bring me the flour. Who is Jesus Christ in the Bible? The bread of life. The essence of the bread of life is the flour, right? You cannot create it if it's not with the flour. That's the essence. Jesus Christ is the one that is going to clean and purify anything. Jesus Christ is the one that is going to then purify and remove any poisoning that we can have in our hearts. He's the only answer. He's the only thing. There's nothing else more and less than that. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one. The flour, Elisha, call it, put it in, clean it, give it to everyone. There's no anything harmful anymore. The flour, which is Jesus Christ, is the one that we need, according to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Jesus is referred to as the unleavened bread, emphasizing his sinless nature. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Don't worry, guys. I'm finishing now. 5:7. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Also, John 6:35, he declares that he is the bread of life. So we, again, I'm talking because myself, I look at myself 20 years ago and now, and I can say like, wow, this is crazy. And that's fine. That was the capacity that I have. That was the level of knowledge that I have. And we will continue growing. But I want to leave you with these scriptures. Proverbs 16:18. I learned this, please. Because we tend, when we have the doctrines, we feel powerful. I have the correct answer and I have the control of this. And who else is going to listen to me with the correct doctrine? They cannot fight against these doctrines that I'm sharing with you guys. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. Susan, help me. A haughty spirit before a fall. Pay attention to that. Because it says, a haughty spirit. It doesn't say flesh. It's talking about the spirit. Because sometimes we tend to think we are so spiritual. I'm sorry, church. I'm just, I guess, drained. We tend to get to that level, and we have to just be careful. That's it. I'm just saying be careful. Because I'm sharing this because I came from that type of environment or type of mentality. And I learned. And I learned that we have to have a humble heart. And we have to understand that everything that is happening in our life and everything that is going through our life and in our life is Him, is through Him. He's the one. He's the one doing everything. Provision, protection, healing, everything. He's the provider. Not me, not anyone. And if my spirit is getting to that level, I need to be careful because then what is coming next is the fall. And I don't want to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm. Be careful that you don't fall. That's it, church. I'm going to leave you with Romans 8:6 when it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace, which is through Jesus Christ. He showed us that life and peace through the Spirit is the one that is going to bring us back to the first love. I'm sorry. I have to go to Revelation 2 again. Revelation 2. And then when he finished talking about the Nicolaitans, he says, 7, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's the benefit. And that's the blessing from God for you and for me. If you are victorious, if you worship like the first time you were worshiping Him in first love with Him, don't let it go. Continue loving Him that way. Don't love the doctrines. Heavenly Father, we worship You. We thank You. We praise You. Thank You for the time and opportunity. Thank You for Your love. Thank You that we continue learning to worship You in spirit and truth, because that's the worshipers that you are seeking. So thank You for that. We love You. We love this church. We bless this church. We declare that You are here. You are the one leading the church, not me, not anyone else. In the scripture, You says that You are the one that is providing to the church what they need. Please help us to continue blessing other ones, blessing other people, blessing the community, blessing each other as a church, as a real community that we are, as a believers of You, Jesus Christ.